Shalom, everybody. And today we're going to continue with Rav Kook's understanding of the Gemara on Masechet Shabbat, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Bet, about what have the Romans done for us. And we saw that there are three opinions. And the Gemara, the Talmud, thinks it important to bring all three opinions. That of Rabbi Yehuda, who praised the Romans for what they did, for the marketplaces and the bridges and the bathhouses. And the Gemara says that he was promoted, as opposed to Rabbi Yossi, who didn't want to comment against Big Brother, against the Romans, and as opposed to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who spoke against the Romans, that everything that they did was for their own selfish purposes. So the Gemara continues. We read this last time, but now we'll go a little more into depth on this sentence. Let me open up the screen, share screen. Okay. Maybe I'll just foreshadow a drop about the heading, about the advantages of having also hawks and also doves in our relations with the Gentiles. It has to be very clear from the start that Rav Kook, like his son Rav Tzvi Yehuda was very much like his father. He was very clearly right-wing. He was a hawk in his relationship with the British, with the Arabs, with terrorism, in favor of having a strong Jewish state. But as I think I mentioned the story in the past, there was a young guy in America, Zarav, a naive kid, who said once to Rav Tzvi Yehuda, isn't it true that we're right-wing? To which Rav Tzvi Yehuda answered, well, on national issues, international issues, security issues, we're usually more right-wing. But on economic issues, we're more left-wing. In other words, there is a time and a place for right-wing and for left-wing. The fact that the Gemara brings all three opinions tells us that there is a time and a place for each of the three opinions also on the same issue. Things change, situations change, and just like I remember, when I was growing up, we had on the one hand, all of us young people were in SSSJ, and we had friends handcuffing themselves to the White House fence and to pressure America and Solidarity Sunday to pressure the Soviet Union. And on the other hand, we saw the old guard, that was Rabbi Pinchas Taitz, the Chabad, who were always used to working behind the scenes. And apparently during the 50s and 60s, most of the 60s, that may really have been the more proper approach. Somewhere along the line, just like Rav Soloveitchik moved from the Agudat Yisrael and the quiet, behind-the-scenes, more galuti approach, he moved to the Mizrahi with a more activist approach after the Holocaust. Rav Moshe Feinstein also, in his earlier comments regarding Soviet Jewry, he was more in favor of the quiet approach, not making demonstrations, etc. Somewhere along the line, Rav Moshe very clearly changed his mind. And apparently, it was the situation that changed. And that's where Rav Kook is going to help us identify when is it better to take the more hawkish approach, that of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and when is it more wise to take the dovish approach, that of Rabbi Yehuda? And that's what we're going to talk about. The Gemara says in 1 Aleph, this is the Gemara, Amru Rabbi Yehuda, so the Romans, they decreed, Rabbi Yehuda she'ila yit'aleh. Rabbi Yehuda, who praised the Romans and their bathhouses, etc., he will be promoted. And by the way, that's how the Gemara began there. The Gemara starts with saying that Rabbi Yehuda is Rosh HaMedabrim. He is the first speaker whenever he has anything to say. And the Gemara asks, why is he the first speaker? He's not a Kohen. And the Gemara answers, because the Romans gave him that promotion. And the obvious question that Rav Kook is going to deal with is, who cares? The fact that the Romans liked this guy because apparently they saw him as a quote-unquote Uncle Tom, right? Somebody who is willing to work together with them. But why should we in the Beit Midrash give Rabbi Yehuda that honor that the Romans wanted to give him, to be the first one to speak? And the Gemara continues, Yossi sheshatak yigle letzipori. Rabbi Yossi, again, he didn't want to say anything against Big Brother, but he also didn't want to praise them. The Romans said he will be sent to Tzipori, like Siberia, if you're not a friend of Big Brother. And here Rav Kook is also going to explain, why does that interest us? And Shimon Shagina Yehareg. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who spoke against the Romans decreed he will be put to death. And that's the continuation of the story, that he had to go and hide in the cave for 12 years. Rav Kook writes as follows, paragraph bet. Maybe I'll just enlarge it a drop. There you go. Do you see that enlarged now that I enlarged it? Okay. Okay, thank you for reminding me. Okay, one second. I will mute everyone. Beseder. Okay. And, okay. So Rav Kook writes as follows. Let me get into the share screen, into the source sheet again. Here we go. Rabbi Yehuda matza et oto atzar atov animtza benikuda tochit shel ara hagadol hamale et kol chalala shel malchut harisha. That we saw previously, that Rabbi Yehuda looked for the good point even in the Romans. He was not naive, he was not pro-Roman, but even in all of the evil of the Romans, he saw the good, the physical benefits that they built, the bathhouses, the marketplaces, the bridges in the land of Israel. Ubetor isha midato hashkacha Elohit al yesod ma'asi. And being that God put Rabbi Yehuda in the job of being pragmatic, being a pragmatic leader, who, as we'll see, can be the liaison between the Jewish people and the Romans, Lakim Edut B'Yaakov. Here Rav Kook, and what I thought of doing now, we'll see if it's helpful, to highlight the source of where we're going to jump now, where we'll see the Pasuk of Lakim Edut B'Yaakov literally means to set up the testimony of Yaakov. What is the context there? Let's see Tehillim, Perek Ayin Chet, where the Perek, again, it's always good to look up Rav Kook when he's alluding to a source, because it'll help you understand. Maskil Le'asaf. Maskil is used for a person who is enlightened, and that is, in our context, Rabbi Yehuda, who goes in the direction of, sometimes it's more important than being correct, it's important to be smart. And he takes the smart approach. Hazina ami torati hatu az nachem li'imrei fi. Eftecha b'mashal pi abia chidot minei kedem. In this maskil la'asaf, Asaf is taking the enlightened approach, the smart approach, in speaking in parables, in speaking in riddles. In other words, sometimes, again, you have to be smart, not just correct. Asher shamanu v'nedaim v'avotenu sipru lanu. Let's jump down to Pasuk K. Vayakom edut b'Yaakov. This is the Pasuk that Rav Kook is referring to. They are the ones who set up the testimony of Yaakov v'torah sam b'Yisrael asher tziva et avotenu lodi'am livneihem. It is people like these maskilim, like Rabbi Yehuda, who knows how to read the political map, in order to keep the Torah going, even under the time of the Romans, that sometimes we have to pretend to be doves, and there is a time and a place for this shituf pula, cooperation with the Romans. Liman yedu dor acharon, again, so that in the end of days, where I'll just foreshadow a drop, Rav Kook is going to say, basically quoting the Seder HaDorot, who says that le'atid lavo, in the future, the halacha will be Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is an idealist, and he is a Kabbalist, and that is why he cannot be the prime minister. He cannot be the Rosh HaMedabrim. He can't be the liaison with the Romans, because he's dreaming of the ideal world. And it is people like Maskila Asaf, like Rabbi Yehuda in our context, who are enabling the Torah to continue and not to be wiped out by the Romans. Okay? So back to paragraph Bet. Okay? So it's Rabbi Yehuda who makes sure Lakim Edud B'Yaakov B'Darkei Chayei Ha'uma B'Mishpatei Torat Emet B'Foal. Again, the Torah is a true Torah, but you don't always have to tell every single thing to every single person. There are certain truths which sometimes you don't have to tell the Romans, and sometimes you have to be patient and wait for the next generation. Zeu darko hanachon lihitpasher. This is the way, the proper way of Rabbi Yehuda. In his time, there is a need for these type of Jews and for these type of Jews. Those who are willing to make the compromise, imachayim shebefoal, with the mitziyut, with what's going on in the world as of today. The world is not ideal. Ubemitziyut, and to know how to read the political map. And again, if the Romans are willing to donate certain things to the land of Israel, why not make the most out of it? Because they're doing it anyway. And this approach is the approach of what we've seen many times in the writings and the thought of Rav Kook, that the bedi'evit of man is the lechatchila of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course we would prefer for the Romans not to be in the land of Israel. Of course we would prefer to have an independent Jewish state. But if that was not where we were at in the time of these Tanaim, we're about the year 150 CE, the temple was already destroyed. The Romans were ruling over most of the modern world. Rabbi Yehuda says we have to be pragmatic. Paragraph Gimel. V'cheivan shebesh'at ha-galut min ha-shamayim himlichu le'umazu. Here, Rav Kook, also, like I said, today, what we're going to do is every time Rav Kook hints or alludes to a certain source, we're going to see it right away in order to understand his context. Rav Kook is saying that it is from the heavens that the Romans were chosen to rule at this time. Let's jump to source number 3. Rav Kook here is referring to the Gemara, the Talmud of Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Chet Amud Aleph, which reads as follows. Tanu Rabbanan, Keshechala Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, one of the great Tanaim, was sick. Halach Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, the famous Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, who at the end of the story will remember what happened to him. He came to visit his Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma. Amar lo Chanina, ata achi. Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma said, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, my brother, This is the quote that Rav Kook is quoting. You don't realize that the Romans have been appointed by God. In other words, they have siyata dishmaya. It's going to be very hard to fight them. Shechrived beito. They were the ones who succeeded in destroying God's temple. And they burned his house. Veharga at his palace. Veharga at chasidav. And these are the Romans who killed the righteous. Veavda et tova. Veadayin hi kayemet. The Romans are still in power. Why are you, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, still learning Torah? Vani shamati alecha sheata yoshev veosek betorah. Umbakil kilod berabim, you are continuing to teach Torah. V'sefer munach lecha bechekecha, and the sefer Torah, you walk around with it inside your clothing. The Romans will catch you. Amar lo min hashamayim yirachamu. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion answered him. He says, "No, that God should have mercy on me and take care of me." Amar lo. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma says, "What are you talking about? Ani omar lechad omer lechad varim shel ta'am. I am talking to you rationally that the Romans are going to catch you and put you to death. Ve'ata omer li mina shamayim yiruchamu. And you're talking to me. What do you mean? You don't think I'm religious? But you can't be naive. Tameh ani im lo yisrafu otcha ve'tsefer Torah ba'esh." He says, I'm not going to be surprised if the Romans catch you with your Sefer Torah and will burn you together with the Sefer Torah, which is in fact what happened. Now, we know halachically that when the Romans or any of the Gentile nations outlaw a particular mitzvah, that mitzvah becomes shachmad. And you have to be willing to give your life to teach Torah. That we all know. And Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion continued teaching Torah, and in the end gave his life for it. On the other hand, there is the other side of the coin. I think most people would probably be surprised that the Talmud tells us that the opinion of Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma is maybe continue learning, but don't teach it in public, or maybe you're taking too much of a chance. In other words, there is a time and a place for both approaches. And getting back to the approach of Rabbi Yehuda, who's the more dovish approach, compromising and even complimenting the Romans here. Again, back to paragraph Gimel. Kevan shebishata galut min hashamayim himluchu lo mazu. It is obviously from heaven. God was the one who appointed the Romans as the kings today. And we, unfortunately, in Israel, are under the rule of the Romans. What can we do? It also is the will of God that the Romans at least built the land of Israel and made the land of Israel, which was already in ruins, made it a little more habitable by building marketplaces, by building bathhouses and bridges. Oto adam ha'na'ala ra'ui li'yot ha'amud ha'ma'asi l'dinei Torah, likvo halacha kamoto neged chaverav. This is the same Rabbi Yehuda, who is pragmatic, and he is practical, and the halacha is like him. We saw this several paragraphs ago, several classes ago. Let's see it here inside, in source number 4. Which is the Gemara that Rav Kook is alluding to in Masechet Eruvin, Mem Vav Amud Bet. Amar Rabbi Yaakov Baridi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yehuda, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. If there's a difference of opinion between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Yossi, for example, that's one of the stories in our Gemara, halacha k'Rabbi Yossi. And it's also Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Halacha is almost always like Rabbi Yehuda. And that is what Rav Kook is saying here. Why is the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda? Because he is pragmatic. And just like we see in this Gemara, where he says, sometimes we have to compromise with the Romans. וביותם מתגלה בתכונה כזאת של מציאות הצער הטוב שבכל פעולה לפי ההווה שלה. Rabbi Yehuda looks at the present. And you remember we spoke about this last time, the Gemara Masechet Pesachim, that in the laws of brachot, bizman hazeh, in our day, you make a bracha on the present. If a person hears bad news, you make the bracha, Dayana Emet. You bless God that He is the just king, even though we are not happy with His justice. And even though the Gemara says that in the future we will be on a higher level and we will understand the justice, and that even when something bad happens, we will make the bracha of Hatov V'Ametiv as if it were good news. But we are not on that level yet. And let's not pretend we're on that level. And you have to make the bracha according to the present. And you have to act according to the present. And if we are in a period here that the Jews are not independent, we don't have an army, we don't have a state, we don't have an economy, there is room for the more dovish, compromising opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Hine yosifu lema'et et oto chelek haniguud ha-bilti muchrach hanimtza ben Yisrael l'Romi. She'aniguud ha-muchrach mitzad avdala mitit marchivo yoter me'achriach shelo. Rav Kook is pointing out that the Romans really are evil. But Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is taking it a little to an extreme at this time and place. And that's why we need a more level-headed leadership, like Rabbi Yehuda. Ulifamim hu meik l'shtei ha'umot yachad yoter mi'ara'ui. And sometimes, if we were to take the approach of Rabbi Shimon and talk against the Arabs and always rebel against the Arabs, and what if they are Romans? Romans, I meant, not the Arabs. Then we will also lose. In other words, sometimes you cannot go, what's called in Hebrew, Rosh Bakir. You can't bang your head against the wall if there is no hope of succeeding. And that is why this opinion is not only brought in the Talmud, but this is how, do you all see what Rav Kook is saying? This is why we care about why the Romans promoted Rabbi Yehuda. The Romans told Rabbi Yehuda, you will be given the honor to be the first speaker in any forum that you want to speak. And we ask the question, who cares what the Romans say? The answer is, it is for our benefit also that he is the first speaker, because he has that pragmatic leadership. And that's why the halacha is like him as well. Paragraph Dalid. Kach hi machshevet ha-malchut al-pi atzat Hashem, she-gazar lishmor et amo gam biotam be'eretz oyveihem. This is what is during the exile. Even when we are in the hands and in the lands of our opponent. Now what, and we'll just finish another line, ayidei chochmei adorot, that Hashem sends us the wise people of the generations. Every generation needs a certain type of wise people. And what is Rav Kook referring to? Let us look in Source 5, where Rav Kook is quoting the pasuk from Vayikra that says, if we don't do the Torah, Hashem is going to stop the rain. And if we still don't do tshuva, He's going to send enemies. And if we still don't do tshuva, He's going to send us to exile. Vayikra chavav mem dalid. Ve'av gamzot biyotam be'eretz oyvehem. And even after we are exiled by our enemies, lo me'astim ve'lo ga'altim l'chalotam. God says, I will not hate the Jewish people. I will not do away with the Jewish people. La'fer briti itam. But I will keep my covenant with the Jewish people, ki ani Hashem Elokeihem, because I am the Lord, their God, eternal. I promised eternally that the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, I will take care of them. Now, what does it mean, I will take care of them? Let's see the Gemara in Masechet Megillah, Daf Yud Aleph, Source 6, which Rav Kook is also quoting here. The Gemara, Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, Matnita Tana, lo mastim, on this pasuk. What does it mean, I did not hate them. I was not disgusted with the Jewish people, even during exile. Bimei Kazdim, during the time of the Babylonians, Shemati lem Daniel, Hanania, Mishael, Azariah, that I gave them leadership to guide them properly under the Babylonians. Velo Gaaltim Bimei Yevanim, Shemati lem Shimon HaTzadik, V'chashmonehu Banavim, Matityahu Kohen Gadol. Notice that during the there were times of the Greeks where we had Shimon HaTzadik helping Alexander the Great, but there were also generations where Matityahu and Yehuda Maccabee rebelled against the Romans. And both of them are God's will. L'chalotam, God says, I will not do away with them. Bimei Haman, it's referring to the story of Esther. Shamati lem Mordechai ve'Esther, who saved the Jewish people. La fer briti itam, I will not break my covenant with them. What is that referring to? Bimei Persim, that is in the time of the Persians, and as we'll see, also the Romans. Shamati lem et beit Rebi v'chachmei dorot, that we set up Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, and the wise people of the generations. Rav Kook is saying here, that is Rebbe Yehuda. How do I know it's talking also about the Romans, not just the Persians? Because Rebbe was in the time of the Romans, and not the Persians. And he's talking about from the Persians on. Ki ani Hashem Elokehem latid lavo she'en kol umah v'lashon yechola lishlot b'hem. When the day will come that Hashem will give us independence and an army, and the goyim will not be able to rule over us any longer. In other words, the way Hashem rules over us and takes care of us in every generation is different. In certain generations, we should rebel. In other generations, we should not rebel. And that is the Chachmei Dorot, the wise people in every generation who know how to lead us. Once we're here on this pasuk that Hashem says, even in exile, I will not do away with them, I will keep my covenant with them. There's a very famous and important Ramban in Source 7, where the Ramban points out on this pasuk, Aval acharei heyotenu bagalut, after we are sent to exile. This is the Ramban in Dvarim Kafchet Membet. Even when we're in exile, lo nitkalalu ma'asei yadenu, God will not curse the work of the Jewish hands. Velo alafenu vashtarot sonenu, and God will bless our herd and our cattle. Velo karmenu vezeitenu avasher nizra basadeh, even when we're exiled, God says, I will bless your vineyards. Aval anachnu be'artzot kishar ha'amim, we are in exile, even though they are the rulers and we are subservient, nevertheless, we benefit from their economy. And when it's not good for us there, we move west. And when it's not good for west, we move even more west. Wasn't good in Poland, we move to Germany. And when it wasn't good in Germany, we move to America. Yoshvei ha'aretz ahi, o betov mehem. The Ramban is pointing out that the Jewish people actually succeeded more than the Goyim did in exile. I mentioned here once that my father-in-law in Poland said that, why did the Poles hate the Jews? Because they were jealous, because the Jews were a lot more successful than the Poles were. And look at America, that the Jews are relatively successful. And the Ramban says that this is actually alluded to in the pasuk that we read before, that even when we are in exile, God watches over us and will help the Jew prosper, even though in many exiles, our hands were tied behind our backs. And yes, eventually there were pogroms, and we did have to run from one exile to another. Nevertheless, as long as we were in a certain exile, the Jew Davka succeeded. And that is part of the bracha, part of the blessing that Hashem gave us. Getting back to tonight's Rav Kook, let us go on. So we have explained Rebbe Yehuda, who says that the bidyevet of man is the l'chatchila v'kadosh baruch hu. Sometimes we have to kiss up to the Romans or to the rulers. Paragraph Hey. What about the shtika of Rabbi Yossi? it says that Rabbi Yossi was quiet. He didn't praise the Romans, but he also didn't curse the Romans. What was his sentence? He was exiled from his city to go to Tzipori. Why is this significant? Rav Kook explains. Hashtika shel Rabbi Yossi noledet minigud hanimtza le'inav. Rabbi Yossi, as we saw last time, he realizes the duality, that there are certain good things that the Romans do, but when it's coming from a bad place, that in itself is problematic. So what should you do when you have this mamlachat hachata'a, this sinning kingdom, we're jumping down, enkan etza ki'im lagloto litzipori. Davka, the Romans, when they exiled Rabbi Yossi to Tzipori, it is in his interest, and it is in the interest of the Jewish people. Why is it for the better that the Romans are the messengers, the shlichim of God? Makom sham lo yira'e od et chaye ha-pritzut olulut v'achzariyut shel ha-romaim. The Romans are exiling Rabbi Yossi to a place where he will not see the pritzut, the immodesty, the cruelty of the Romans, the yadinet erkam shel ha-minagim v'atikunim al pi atzmut mahutam. And he, Rabbi Yossi, after he's sent to exile, he can differentiate between the doer and the deed. And he, who does see the good in the deed, but sees the problem in the doer, in the Romans, if we get rid of the doer by having him exiled to another city where there aren't any Romans, that solves the problem. That it can help Rabbi Yossi, who does, he is on the same wavelength as Rabbi Yehuda. He does see the good that the Romans are doing. And the best way to get the good out of Rabbi Yossi is Davka in his betterment and for the Romans, that they send him, exile him to another city. Paragraph Hey, Evav. And now we get to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, we said, came out strongly against the Arabs with his full righteous indignation. He said, what have the Romans done for us? They built the bathhouses for themselves. They built the bridges for themselves. They built the marketplaces for themselves. Rav Kook is going to say there is a time and a place for hawks like Rabbi Shimon as well. Omnam Rabbi Shimon Matzu, the Romans, found et rosh pisgat ha'evdil ha'atzum she'i efshar latimo. In the world of the words of the old cowboy movies, there ain't enough room in this town or in this country for the two of us. In other words, Rabbi Shimon is diametrically opposed to the Romans, and the Romans know it, and Rabbi Shimon knows it. Ki nafsho akdosha shaita kshura b'matzav akdosha yisraelit mitzad or Elohi shalamo. Remember, who is Rabbi Shimon? He is the father of the Zohar. He is the Kabbalist. He is super idealistic, but not everybody is cut out to learn the Kabbalah. Not everybody understands the mindset of Rabbi Shimon. And that is why the Seder HaDorot tells us that in Yemot HaMashiach, the halacha will be like Shammai and not like Hillel. And the halacha will be like Rabbi Shimon and not like those who disagree with him. In other words, for an idealist like Rabbi Shimon, who also participated in the Bar Kochva rebellion, to fight against the Romans and kick them out of the Holy Land, the time will come for his approach. But Rav Kook is saying, not now. There is a time to fight the Romans, but not if your two hands are tied behind you and you don't have an ice cube's chance in hell of succeeding. And sometimes, yeah, you just have to be more like a yes man, like Rabbi Yehuda. Who was Rabbi Shimon? Let's jump down to the Talmud Yerushalmi in source number 9, where it was that same Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Tani Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, Akiva Rabbi, Akiva, my teacher. He is my teacher. Haya Doresh Darach Kocha Miyakov, Darach Koziba Miyakov. Rabbi Akiva was one of the leaders of the Bar Kochva rebellion to fight against the Romans. Rabbi Akiva Kadavi Chami Bar Koziba Viyamar Dinu Malka Meshicha. He said, this is the Mashiach. I'll also remind you that the Gemara at the end of Masechet Makot that says that Rabbi Akiva says, just like the prophecy of destruction has come true, the prophecy of redemption is coming true. He doesn't say will come true. He says is coming true in the present. We are going to rebel and to fight the Romans and to kick them out of the land of Israel. But it turns out that that was premature and the time wasn't ripe yet. Who is Rabbi Shimon? Again, let's jump down to the end of Rav Kook for tonight. The end of paragraph Vav about Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon realizes the pshitat telafav, the falsehood of the Romans and the Christians who put out their hooves and they say, look, I'm kosher. Even though internally they are very not kosher. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai knows how to look inside as well. Ve'et Esav saneti. This is the pasuk in the Navi Malachi who says, I hate Esav. This is the approach of Rabbi Shimon, who talks against the Romans. Al kein matzu bo et oivam benefesh hayoter ne'eratz, she'en lem derech linatzel mimeno ki'im al yedei ariga. Rabbi Shimon leaves the Romans no choice but to fight him, to fight fire with fire, and to put Rabbi Shimon to death. Shimon Shagina Yehareg, and that is why the Romans sentenced that Rabbi Shimon, who spoke against the Romans, he deserves to be put to death. Ki bitaluta tova miti, mikola mikrim shebachayim, because when somebody like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who is a real idealist and he is a dreamer, dreaming of the ideal world, mitgales sin atara. That is when we really hate evil. A love be'etzem tokfa. What does it mean that we hate the evil? Judaism is in favor of fighting evil. Rav Kook here is quoting the pasuk that we all know from davening, from Tehillim, source number 10, Tehillim Tzadi Zayin. Ohavei Hashem sin'u ra. Those who love God hate evil. Evil. Now, for us who grew up on Judaism, this is the most logical thing in the world. But I mentioned once that my father, Zichrono Livracha, his masters, he studied comparative religions. And a lot of times it helps us understand Judaism by comparing it to the Christians. Again, Esav. We all grew up in a Christian world. And we heard what they call the New Testament say, if somebody slaps you in the face, turn the other cheek. Or they say, resist not evil. Don't fight him. Say, here, slap me too. You can't fight evil, says the Christians. They say, the meek shall inherit the earth. It's good to be meek. Don't fight the evil. You cannot fight the Satan. Chevra, Judaism believes that it is immoral not to fight evil. You have to do it smart. And in certain generations, you have to fight it this way. In other generations, you have to fight it with an army. And this is what the Rambam writes in Source 11, Ilchot Melachim Perek Dal Halacha Yud, that part of the job of the king of Israel is Lishbor Zroa HaRashaim, to break the arm of the evil. Why is it moral to break the arm of the evil? First of all, because the evil pick on the weak. And we believe you have to stick up for the underdog. If nobody sticks up for the underdog, Israel is going to look like Harlem. So, we need to stick up for the underdog, also for the sake of society, but also a third reason. The Rambam in Source 12, with this we finish, the Rambam in Moren Vuchim Gimel Lamed Hei, says that one of the reasons why the Torah gives us such stiff punishments, and sometimes even capital punishment to put someone to death, why? Because if we don't deter the evil person Who's going to suffer? The evil person himself suffers the most. Etzem achzariyut aleihem. If you don't punish an evil person, Nabuch, he's not going to have a good married wife. What woman wants to be married to an evil person? He's not going to get along with his children. What children get along with an evil father? So Judaism says, do the evil, especially when they're goyim, do them a favor and teach them a lesson and teach them, fight, we will fight evil for the sake of morality. Again, this is the approach of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, which today that we're back again into the independent state of Israel, this, again, is the approach to fight evil. Not like the Christians who say, resist not evil. We Davka say it's moral to fight the evil. But to summarize, there is a time for being a little more dovish, and there is a time for being more hawkish. And everybody knows that Rav Kook himself was very much of a hawk. I wrote a 40-page article. If anybody wants to find it in Hebrew, you can Google Ari Shvat Yemani Rav Kook. Nevertheless, Rav Kook tells us that when we are in exile under the Romans, we have no choice. Be practical. Sometimes you have to not just to be correct, but also to be smart.